Okay, thank you very much. And we'll turn finally now to Dr. Yuna Wong.
Thank you all very much. Just by way of background, I work for RAND Corporation, and some of my more recent projects have been the NATO Military Strategy Game. So I co-led that, and I designed the format for that particular game. I'll use it in air quotes, you can come see me later for why I'm putting it in air quotes. Also, I was the co-lead for the team who did the Hegemony effort, which is possibly going to be RAND's first commercially published war game. But when the Pentagon strategy writing teams were writing the national defense strategy, they came and we created that war game environment for them. I'm also, in the next several months, also I'll be putting out a report. So we did a study for the U.S. Marine Corps. They are developing a new war game center in Quantico. And that interviewed several U.S. defense and allied war gaming centers about tools, practices, best approaches, lessons learned. And so a lot of the people and organizations we interviewed are in the appendix. Okay, so now for this topic, thank you very much for inviting me to speak, even though I am not a psychologist. I'm not a psychologist, but on the U.S. side, I've been arguing for more psychologists in war gaming for a number of years. So I was the co-chair for the Military Operations Research Special Meeting on Wargaming in 2016 and 2017. And in 2017, we had a panel on wargaming with actual psychologists, so it was quite exciting. And some of their backgrounds, and we had three psychologists, and their backgrounds, their backgrounds covered organizational psychology, social psychology, cognitive science, and as individuals, they had experience in army training, learning cognitive bias, nonverbal indicators, and decision making. And we asked what were some of the ways that they felt psychology could contribute to wargaming. And some of the things they named were formal techniques to draw creativity, understand bias in decision making, including during games, how players may react differently to information in games than in the real world. So that's a topic where I think we have a lot to learn from psychology about the generalizability of classroom or lab experiments to the real world. And also on individual performance and group outcomes, particularly in training. So why do we need psychology in wargaming? First of all, to describe with actual theory the phenomena we are witnessing. I think it's so far as a community, and when I say this, I'm usually mostly referring to the U.S. wargaming community, because that's the community I'm most familiar with, is it's okay to have informal names for concepts, but it's really informal and it's really not at the level of rigor or intellectual rigor that psychologists have already developed in a number of areas. We also need to understand the theory and the research tools that psychology brings to understand what's happening in the game, how the phenomena are manifesting themselves in the game, and to assess them in the games. Also to collect appropriate data. So this is where sometimes you watch people who come from quantitative backgrounds but without social science sort of collect possibly just random numbers in a game that may or may not be relevant to what it is they're actually trying to measure. Another reason we need psychology in war game is to find ways to improve the experience and outcome of war games. And another reason, finally, I would say, is we need critical mass that allows for peer review. So it was great to see that there was an actual couple of psychologists up here, and I think a larger community gets to deeper research and it gets to, again, peer review, which is absolutely critical. So a little bit about, I'm gonna talk a little bit about psychology, but it's mostly my personal understanding of psychology and what it is more in the US rather than saying Europe. So psychology and sociology are the social sciences that formally study small group outcomes. So some of my background is in international relations. So it is absolutely the wrong level of analysis, the theory and the research tools and the reasoning and all of the training is at the wrong level. So if you think about various levels of analysis, you go from individual to small group and grade all the way up to national to international. So as someone with a background in international relations, I do not have the appropriate tools to be able to look at small group outcomes in a way that I would like. There are entire fields and subfields within psychology that look at things like educational psychology or cognitive bias. So in educational psychology, I got to have a conversation with people who are educators. In the wargaming community, we talk informally about facilitating players or mentoring new wargamers, but there is actually research and terminology in educational psychology about instructional scaffolding, right? So they get very exact on what it is you're trying to do and what's involved and some of the counter arguments and all of the debate on some of these things. Whereas for us, we talk very loosely about facilitating, but sometimes in professional games, right, scaffolding is going on, right? There's certain cognitive, there's certain tasks that people in the war game are not able to accomplish, so you have various parts of the white cell who are there to help them, but they are scaffolding in a sense. Also, in educational psychology, right, there's a lot of difference between educating children versus adults, pedagogy versus andragogy, and the latter being more self-directed. But what are the implications for that when you're trying to use wargaming in a military educational setting? I think it would be great to hear a lot more from that community on that. Having a conversation with one education researcher about wargaming, she gave me a really confused look. And she said, well, what classroom protocols do you have in place to know learning is going on? I said, we don't have any classroom protocols, right? We won World War II, and that's sort of the empirical evidence we're going with that wargaming works. So the revelation for me in that conversation was, right, if you're in the field of education, you have classroom protocol, you have actual social science, you have actual instruments to measure learning, which we don't have in wargaming. And just look, just as amateurs look at Bloom's revised taxonomy, right? If you look at Bloom's revised taxonomy for the cognitive domain, there are increasing levels of learning from knowledge, comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, to evaluation. And when people talk about what is wargaming doing to assist in learning, we are probably looking at the synthesis and evaluation levels, especially if you're white cell, you're looking at the evaluation. So remember that von Moltke, the Jungwirth, right, made it a requirement for any candidate coming into, I think, the war college, to have his commander write up his performance as an umpire in a unit level game. So when you are umpiring, you are performing at the highest level of Bloom's revised taxonomy, which is evaluation. So I thought that was very interesting. But I would want to have someone who has actual training on this to say if this is the case, rather than me doing it in an amateur hour way. Also, we haven't really even begun to scratch the surface on play-based learning and play-based therapy, which comes more from clinical psychology, developmental psychology, and pediatric neurology. But great play is used for children to work out difficult issues, also problem solving, also learning, skills acquisition, although that's debatable. But what we are doing in war games, we talk about people learn when they're having fun, right? We're talking about affect. But what is this language that we should actually be formally importing from these areas? So, I've been talking about this for years, but what are the barriers, right? So there are a lot of barriers to bringing psychology into wargaming. So first of all, there are sort of pre-existing disciplines in wargaming that have sort of as an accident of history or various path-dependent reasons become sort of dominant in wargaming. And these include political science, particularly international relations, history, operational research, military planning, and commercial war games. So if you're coming from any of these backgrounds, there are hooks for you as a newcomer, right? There are epistemic approaches, intellectual traditions that look familiar, there's shared language, there's shared terminology, there are other people who sort of, they validate in a sense that this is an area of interest, there's academic interest, there's professional interest. But when you are coming in as an outsider, right, and you do not have any of these hooks, pre-existing hooks, there are barriers. It is very difficult to be a persistent outsider and to feel like you're the crazy person in the room. Don't ask me how I know this. What should not be a barrier is any requirement for quantitative skills. Again, I'm talking more about the U.S. side, but U.S. social science is extremely heavily quantitative and becoming even more so. There was the behavioral revolution in the 1950s, where U.S. social science started its path towards becoming increasingly more quantitative. And now I feel like some disciplines have lost the ability to reason qualitatively and have become so quantitative that even though they're human beings who are social scientists and who are supposedly studying other humans, I feel like you're getting social scientists who can no longer pass the Turing test. So another barrier to having psychology in working is budget and scope. So I've had a varying number of roles in wargaming to include government sponsors. So in my previous job, I was an operations research analyst for the Marine Corps in Quantico. And so, you know, you're the wargaming sponsor. That was also very interesting. But, you know, you get a project, okay, you know, NATO or, you know, this office in the Pentagon wants a wargaming, here's the budget. That means you have to say, these are the people available. Then the 80% solution is to take casual notes, right? It isn't formal calling or research on anything. And, you know, you need people who run the project team, and, you know, maybe you need to bring in someone with a regional expertise in China, or you need to bring in a person who has a real expertise on hypersonic weapons. But it's never the psychologist, right? The psychologist never makes the core cut to getting an 80% solution to the sponsor. And also another barrier, I think, is there is no faculty member in the core wargaming circle that is generating interest among graduate students and bringing in graduate students. I think we have a couple in history and political science that I see doing it for wargaming, but we don't have someone who's psychology faculty somewhere, and again, you know, is introducing graduate students to us.